I made the point this morning when we looked at this parable that the Lord gives to us here the only two epitaphs that will be written over the lives of men and women. We cannot change or control what others will say about us after we die and leave this world. But we ought not to be overly concerned with that. Rather, the verdict of God should be that which concerns us most. And here the Lord is teaching his disciples at the end of time, every one of us will stand before the Lord. And the Lord will survey and the Lord will scrutinize our life that we have lived upon this earth. And the verdict will be one or the other of these two sentences or these two statements. To some of the servants he said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But to this servant that we read of in the latter part of the passage, the Lord answered and said unto him, verse 26, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." God will either describe our life as being faithful or slothful. Faithful or slothful. And we considered this morning those people of whom the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." They have recognized that life is a stewardship. They've been given their life from the Lord. Everything they have, everything they are, has been given to them by the Lord. They have been entrusted by the Lord with what they have by way of faculties, abilities, possessions, privileges, influences, whatever the case may be. The Lord has entrusted that to us, that it may be used for his glory. And the people who receive the well done of God have recognized that the Lord has ownership over them. And all that they have and all that they are belongs to him. They've recognized also that life is a service. Just as the master gave these servants his money, he did so that they would use it for his end, for his glory, for his purpose. That he might receive his own with interest when he would return. And the Lord has given us our life, our existence, and every aspect of our life in order that it might be lived for him, for his purpose, for his will, and for his glory. And those who receive the well done recognize that life is not only a stewardship, but life is a service to be rendered for the Lord. Whatever capacity, whatever ability, it is to be given to the Lord's service and to the Lord's purpose and the Lord's will. And then finally, we noted that these people have recognized life as that which will be scrutinized. There is a day of reckoning, a day when the Master shall come and every one of us shall be called to give an account for the life that he has given to us and the life that we have lived upon this earth, without exception, every single one of us. We will not give account for one another. The husband will not give account for his wife. The wife will not give account for her husband. The father will not give account for his children. The children will not give account for their parents. We will all give account to the Lord for ourselves, for our own life. And those who receive the well done have recognized this. And having yielded their life to Christ, they have sought through their days to serve him in view of that coming day when he shall return and call all men to the great reckoning bar of God. But tonight I want us to consider the verdict that was given to this third servant. The Lord says to him in verse 26, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." It would be great tonight if it could be said of all men, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But the Lord is teaching us from this parable that will not be the case. There will be men and women of whom the Lord will say to them, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." The Lord is rolling back here the veil of time. He's letting us see into eternity. He's letting us see that great last day. And on that day there will be those commended and rewarded by the Lord. And the Lord will say to them, enter into the joy of thy Lord. But alas, there will be others to whom the Lord will say, thy wicked and slothful servant, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The two ends, the two destinies, could not be further apart. But the Lord has given us this little glimpse, this little insight, in order that we might learn from this, and that we might seek not to be among those whom the Lord describes as the wicked and the slothful. Let me just say before we go any further that this is the verdict pronounced upon all men born naturally. This verdict, wicked and slothful, belongs to every single individual born into this world by natural generation. God says of the human race, it is wicked. And it is slothful. And at the end of time, if that nature has not been changed, if there has not been regeneration in the heart and in the life, and that individual has not been born again, then that verdict will be pronounced, that epitaph will be written over the life, thy wicked and slothful servant. We ask this morning the question, who are the people of whom the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servants? And we need to ask the same question in relation to the slothful servant. Who are the people of whom the Lord will say, thy wicked and slothful servant? If you look closely at this parable, you will find the answer. The person to whom the Lord will say this, in the first place, is a person who has despised the master's prerogative. If you look here at this parable the Lord tells, you can see a contrast between this servant and the other servants who are mentioned. This servant took his master's money and he buried it in a hole in the ground. He bears testimony to this in verse 25. He says, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. There it is. From his own lips, from his own mouth. The Lord had given a portion of money to the other two servants and they had taken that portion. And they had used it for their master's interest, and they had gained more for the sake of their master. But in the case of this servant, he has taken what was given to him by his master, and instead of using it for his master's interest, he has buried it in the earth. And there it has been all that time, that long time that the master was absent. That portion of money was still there. Now that raises the question, what did this servant do in the intervening time? If he was not busy about the portion that had been given to him by his master, if it was buried there in the ground doing nothing, what else then was he engaged in? And I think we can answer by saying that he was certainly not engaged in his master's interest. He was not engaged in his master's purpose or his master's will or that which would advance his master's estate. And if he was not engaged in what would advance his master's interest, then he was engaged in something else. He was engaged in his own purpose, his own interest. You see, the first characteristic of this servant is that he despised his master's prerogative. He had been given something by his master which he failed to use for his master. He failed to recognize the prerogative that his master had over him. The right of his master over him. The Lord is painting here a picture of fallen man. I made the point this morning that everything we have has been given to us by the Lord. Our life, our existence, our body belongs to Him, our soul belongs to Him, and all of the faculties that He has given us, there's not two of us the same. The Lord has bestowed different faculties, different abilities to us according to His sovereign will, that they might be used for His purpose and His glory. But fallen man has refused to recognize the prerogative of the Master, the sovereign right that God has over our life. And consequently, man has decided that he will go his own way and do his own thing and will not serve the interest or the will of God his Maker. Do you remember what Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy? As he sets before us that wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus, and how he would come and suffer and bleed and die and be smitten and afflicted and wounded and bruised. And the reason for that wounding and bruising was because man had gone astray. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have turned everyone to his own way. Every one of us. By nature, every human being born into this world is born with a nature that has turned away from God and despise the Master's prerogative, so that which He has given us to be used for His glory has been buried in the earth, while man goes about his own business, seeking his own way and his own ends. You remember when Moses came to Pharaoh? Pharaoh thought he owned the Israelite people. And Moses brought the message of God, let my people go. They belong to me, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And that's the attitude of every sinner. It's an attitude that despises the prerogative of God, the sovereign right over God, the fact that God owns us and God has given us our existence, to be used for Him, to be lived for Him. But fallen man says, I will bury that prerogative in the earth, and I will go about my own way, my own business, my own interests. How different the language of redeemed, glorified saints is to the language of fallen man. If you turn to Revelation chapter 4, you will find the words there that we were singing earlier in our chorus. It's the words of the elders who are in heaven, who surround the throne of God. Verse 10 of Revelation chapter 4 says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Why has God created you? He created you, He created me, that we would bring pleasure to Him. That we would serve His interest, that we would take what He has given to us in our life and use it as something that will please Him. But the Bible says that man has turned away from God and buried that prerogative in the earth. That money, that master's money, was the symbol of the master's prerogative. And fallen man despises that prerogative and buries it in the earth while he seeks out his own way and his own interests. Not only is this servant characterized as despising his master's prerogative, he's also characterized as distorting his master's person. You see, the servant here, when he was called to account, sought to justify his action by putting the blame upon his master. He says in verse 24, when he was called, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. There thou hast that is thine." You see, not only has he refused to recognize the master's prerogative, not only has he refused to take what was his master's and use it for his glory, he has distorted his master's person. He has tried to justify that action by putting the blame on his master. He says, "I've done this, I put it into the earth because of what you are. Thou art an hard man," he says. And by that he means he has this opinion of his master that he's unjust. He's one who's difficult to please. He's a man who expects more than he had a right to look for. "Thou art an hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth." He has a distorted view, a distorted opinion, a distorted notion of his master. It was not true what this servant was saying. "Hard and hard man, unjust, expecting more than what you had a right to look for." In fact, the master has revealed himself as one who is most generous and gracious. In the case of the other two servants, they had taken what he had given them and they had used it. They had increased what they had been given. The man with 5 talents received another 5 talents. The man with 2 received another 2. And in each case, when they brought their report to their master, the master gave them far more than what they deserved. He said to them, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things." And that was revealing the generous spirit of this master, the gracious spirit of this master, that he actually gives more than what they had earned and what they had deserved. But you see, this servant, this slothful servant, having despised his master's prerogative, now tries to justify his action by distorting his master's person. The Lord is teaching us that men who despise God's prerogative over them and refuse to live for him and his glory, they do so based upon a false notion of God. They think that they know him, but in reality they are ignorant of him. They have hard thoughts of God. They think that God's way is a drudgery. They think that God's way is something that will rob them and something that will not be of advantage to them. They have hard thoughts of God. And yet the Bible teaches us the very opposite. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 103? He says there, in that great psalm in verse number 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Here's this servant with a hard thought about his master, thinking his master unjust, thinking that his master would expect more than he had a right to receive. And all the time it is the opposite. The master gives more than what men deserve to receive. And if men receive what they deserve, they would receive the judgment of God. But the Bible tells us that God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to what our iniquities deserve. Let me tell you tonight, in this earth, out of the 6 billion people that live upon this earth, there is not one, who has received from God what he deserves. If God gave to men and women what they deserved, he would open the ground and cast them into hell for all eternity. But as men live and walk upon this earth, and though this earth may be scarred with the curse of the fall, yet man has not received from God what he deserves. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And it is wrong for men to have this hard notion, this hard idea, this hard opinion of God. And yet that's the very opinion that they embrace in order to justify their actions for slighting him and refusing to live their lives for his glory. That's exactly what sinners are thinking tonight. They think that if they were to give their lives to Christ, that he would exact more from them than what he had a right to do so, and that it would be a terrible task and a terrible drudgery. That it would in effect, be a bondage to them. But how different it is. And these other two servants found it to be so. For when they brought their gains to the master said, "Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Let me tell you, there is joy in being saved and there is joy in serving Christ. A joy that this world cannot give. But men think it to be otherwise. Men think it to be otherwise. They distort the master's person. They despise the master's prerogative. But notice finally here, this servant deserved the master's punishment. He was living by a lie. He was living for himself, for his own interest, refused to serve his master's purpose and will, seeking to justify it by a wrong notion about his master. And now when the day of reckoning comes, he suffered. His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Lord is teaching men here that there's always a payday for sin. There is a payday for sin. Sin never pays. Sin never profits. That selfish way that man has taken, that way of despising his Maker, will never benefit. It will always bring punishment. Isn't it interesting how the Lord described this servant? He says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Wicked. Some men believe that wickedness belongs only to the acts of commission, those things that are committed, like murder and theft. But the Lord is teaching here that wickedness belongs to the acts of omission also. He failed to do what was required of him. He did not take his master's money and spend it on himself and live a life of luxury. He buried it in the earth. And when the master came, he says to his master, "Look, there it is. It's in the earth. There's your money." He wasn't guilty of commission, the act of commission, committing something terrible, but he was guilty of the act of omission. He omitted to do something. And people think that as long as they do not murder, or they do not steal, or they do not commit adultery, that that's all that is required. But the Lord is teaching us here that wickedness belongs also to that realm where the sinner omits to do what is required of him. When he omits to love the Lord with all his heart and to give the Lord his rightful place. When he omits to yield himself to God and to his will and to his glory. When he omits, when he simply takes what his master has given and buries it in the earth and does nothing with it, he's still committing wickedness. Because the Lord says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." And therefore he received the punishment that he deserved. Of course, the servant did not see it that way. He didn't see himself as being unprofitable or as being deserving such a punishment. It was very much the contrary on his part. There was no contrition. He was bold as brass. He says to his master, "Lo, there thou hast that is thine." He felt that he had dealt with his master as the justice of the case deserved. He thought that he was profitable. He thought that he was faithful. But the Lord saw it very differently. And so it will be with sinners. They do not see at all that they are at fault. The fault is always with someone else. And ultimately, they resort to blaming God or blaming providence. If they have not lived as they should have lived, they have not done what they should have done, the fault lies elsewhere, not with themselves. They've done nothing, and yet they content themselves that they have done more than what was required of them. That's the thinking of fallen man. But this parable is teaching us that the verdict rests with God, and God's verdict is just. And a woman who fails to live their life for the glory of God will receive this sentence from the Lord. "Thy wicked and slothful servant." It's the very opposite with those who are faithful. Those who are faithful view themselves as being unprofitable. You remember what the Lord said to his disciples in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10? If you care to turn to that passage, Luke 17 and verse 10. He says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You see, where grace is, grace causes that individual to view himself or herself as being unprofitable. Unprofitable. But where there is the absence of grace, the absence of regeneration, a sinner can refuse to do what God requires him to do and yet justify himself in doing that and place the blame on God. But what a difference eternity will make. The difference between heaven and hell is seen in the attitude of those who are there. Every soul in heaven has realized that they do not deserve to be there. They do not deserve to be there. They enter heaven only by the grace of God, by the unmerited favor of God. But in the case of hell, all who are in hell are there because they deserve to be there. They deserve to be there. The Lord is setting before us the great reckoning day. This is going to come to pass. And every one of us will stand before the Lord. And the Lord will either say, faithful or slothful, well done. Or he will say, unprofitable. And here the Lord sets before us the picture of the difference. The picture that makes the difference. Slothful servant despised his master's prerogative, distorted his master's person, and deserved his master's punishment. How different with the faithful servant, brought to that place in life where he realizes that everything he has been given by the Lord. Yields to the Lord in repentance and contrition of heart. Seeks the Lord's forgiveness and mercy. And from that moment, yields his life to live for the glory of his Redeemer, realizing that he enters heaven not because he deserves to be there, but he enters heaven based on the merit of his Lord and Savior. What a solemn passage this is. But each one of us must carefully examine it, because one of these two epitaphs will be written over our life. And if we would avoid that which we would receive naturally, we must come to that place of repentance and contrition where we receive Christ and yield our life to him and then take what he has given us and use it for his glory. Then and only then will the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we shall realize that we are only there by the grace of God alone. Not because of what we can do or what we are, but by his grace alone. Remember that the reward is based not on the merit of the servant. The reward is based on the grace of the master, because he gives us more than what we deserve. Never lose sight of that. Never lose sight of it. Look upon anything that you do as being at its best unprofitable. And anything that you receive from the Lord by way of reward is through his grace
and His grace alone. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, sovereign, undeserved, unmerited favor. Well done, good and faithful servant, or thou wicked and slothful servant. Consider what the Lord has said and lay it to your heart, and resolve tonight that whatever time is left with your life, that you'll not bury it in the earth, but use it for the glory, the honor, and the will of your master.